The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I'm joined by Conor Faulkner, transport commentator and consultant to the RIAC. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Hi.
You want to maybe overturn some of the stereotypes about older drivers?
Yeah, a couple of conversations I had about this relatively recently. But just looking at older drivers in Ireland, they are a large enough cohort if you look at 70 plus. We've 3.3 million driving licenses, but 280,000 of those are for drivers between the ages of 70 and 79. And there's another 100,000 for drivers who are over 80 years of age. Now, they may not all be as active. They're probably lower mileage drivers than they were back in the day. But they're still driving, and in many cases that's liberating, particularly in rural Ireland, and we need to encourage them, we need to keep them driving. But they do face into stereotypes, and you will hear them in the pub if you start the conversation. Clichés about dangerous grannies or about elderly drivers like Mr. Magoo going through traffic lights.
It does happen though.
Well, it does, but you know, a bit like the older stereotype against female drivers, you know, anecdote isn't data, and when you look at the actual data, it does not stack up. What we see is that older drivers as a collective tend to be very good at self-regulation. They tend not to take as many risks. They'll avoid traffic, they'll avoid motorways.
And generally not in that much of a hurry.
Well, I suppose we typically not in that much of a hurry. What we do see, though, and we've seen this internationally over many years, but actually there was a good piece of research by the RSA a couple of years ago, which looked at our data set from 2019 to 2023, I think it was, and same pattern emerged. Older drivers do not have more accidents, but when an accident occurs, they get hurt more severely. So they're overrepresented in the injury statistics without being overrepresented.
I mean,
in the
you
crash
can
numbers.
Understand they would tend to use their seatbelts and all the rest of it, but they may have an older vehicle which may not have the same number of airbags. They may have brittle bones. You know, there are
the latter probably more likely, Pat. Yeah, probably for a crash. Because I tell you, with another hat on, if you look at some of the work that the Injuries Resolution Board has done and some of the research they've done, even if you look at things like trips and falls, for example, for a trip and fall of given severity, an older person is likely to suffer a greater injury. And you can certainly see the logic in that. So what do we do with all of that? And I think it has to inform system design, road design, urban design, and it has to come from an approach that says not older drivers are potentially dangerous, we need to keep them off the road. The very opposite. I think we need to think mobility becomes increasingly important, not less so as you get older, and everything we do in sort of designing and facilitating that should be based on keeping people mobile as long as
we can. Now, there's no mandatory retirement age for drivers from the driving process.
No, but there is a medical required once you exceed 75, and actually that was changed just in 2022. It used to be 70 years of age and now it's 75. Thereafter, you can only get a 3-year license or 1-year license, and you need to get a fitness to drive note from your GP. It's interesting that, you know, when we first designed that system, if you like, back in the 1960s or even further back, at that stage, 70 years was considered elderly, you know, at that serious concerns. And of course, we all know people who remain very fit and vigorous much, much later in life than that now.
Now, sometimes there is a reluctance on the part of the older driver to embark on what you might call the more demanding driving, like motorway driving, driving at night, driving in bad weather conditions.
Yeah, I mean, all of the stuff that makes driving more difficult for everybody, things like the high speeds on motorways or when weather gets bad or in winter with the glare of lights and all of that, those levels of distraction, and this isn't to be, you know, some cliches are true. Again, it's evident that it tends to have a more pronounced effect on the older driver. So if you are one of those older drivers, I think the first thing you do is self-regulate. Have an appreciation that there might be limitations there that weren't there when you were 30. So you know, adapt your driving patterns. Eventually, we'll all take the keys out of the ignition for the last time at some stage. And that's a lifestyle change, probably as significant as when you first drove a car. And I guess we all have to face up to that at some stage. But we can design systems and we can facilitate so that we can put that off, use technology, for example, to put that off as long as possible for older people.
Now, you have some kind of general advice for people to make sure they remain fit to drive, because that's your imperative, really. You want people mobile in their motor cars as long as they possibly can be.
And some of those are the obvious lifestyle advice that you would give to anyone. Look after your physical fitness, move every day, try and keep yourself cognitively sharp, engage with other people, work a little bit if you need to. All demonstrated that that's very, very good for preserving your cognitive abilities. In terms of driving itself, I would suggest know your limitations. Often for an older driver, it's a friend or relative who taps them on the shoulder and says, geez, that was hairy enough now. If I was you, I wouldn't be taking the motorway up to Dublin. So people will make arrangements. You know, drive to the local train station and make use of your free pass and get the train up to Dublin. Plan your journey so that you're driving in daylight rather than at night time. You know that the Red Cow roundabout's going to be a bloody nightmare at rush hour on a Friday, so don't do that. And again, good evidence that elderly drivers are actually model citizens when it comes to self-regulation in that regard. But as I say, when it comes towards that time, you do need a bit of self-awareness, I think.
Yeah, and preparing for a journey, every time I come in, and I do it frequently, from the N7 to hit the M50, there is an instruction, you know, heading south of the M50, and you'd want to have your wits absolutely about you to spot that, because, you know, one lane becomes two at the last minute.
Yeah, because it's an abomination of road design.
Really awful.
There's a history lesson there, but an abomination. When we first built the M50, we built it far too small, way under capacity. People, older drivers, will remember there was a signal controlled roundabout there that was trying to control 50,000 vehicles a day. Total mess. So they had to go back in and rebuild the cloverleaf with an compromise design, which includes traffic merging from the right, really counterintuitive and pretty darn scary. So unfamiliar spaghetti junction interchanges you should definitely avoid if you're an inexperienced driver, or, as I say, if you're reaching that life stage where those driving challenges are more difficult. And recognising that in yourself is a key thing.
Now, one of the advices that you give, leave plenty of room between your car and the vehicle in front, which is sensible driving.
Yeah.
And then someone nips in front of you.
Yeah.
Because you've left a space for a car. And that person who's in a mad hurry, who's going to get there 15 seconds ahead of you.
Yeah, it's absolutely infuriating and you feel frustrated. It feels like somebody is cut in front of you in the supermarket queue. But you know what? You need to be sensible about that as well. Let him go. He's gained 5 seconds on you. And you're better off at tolerating that than driving too close
to the car.
Now,
people should be conscious of their hearing and their sight. So the regular checkups to make sure they're top notch.
And that does need to be checked every 3 years. I'd say the rule used to be 70, it's now 75. If you are 67, say, for example, you cannot get a license beyond your 75th birthday. And thereafter, you can stay on the road, you can get a 3-year license, but it must come with a note from your doctor to say that you're fit to drive.
The other thing is true of every activity in life, use it or lose it.
Yep.
That if you're someone who takes the car out for a leisurely Sunday afternoon drive once in a fortnight, you're going to lose your driving skills.
Well, I would recommend that you continue doing that. And I've spoken, back in the day, I've spoken to drivers who kept safe and active into very, very late in life. And were doing things like, I spoke to an old lady once who told me that she hated turning right. So she didn't. She negotiated her route with 4 or 5 left turns that got her to the post office and then back
again.
That's
the way it works in American cities, which are based on grids.
Yeah.
You never have to cross the oncoming traffic to make a turn. You go, in their case, right, 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 and right.
Yeah, and I think what this lady had done sensibly is she knew where she wanted to go in the local area. She wasn't taking off cross-country, and she planned out the safest and most sensible route, and that's the route she took. So good on her, and she can keep driving safely, and that's a really good thing.
The final thing is that grandparents are often used for the pickup, for the kids after school or with the various activities, but sometimes they might not have the kind of child protection that the parents of that child have in their own cars.
Yeah, particularly for small children. And one of the things on that is not so much elderly drivers, but it arises with grandparents. The child seat has to be fitted correctly every single time. It clicks in place nicely through a little bolt system. It's very, very safe and secure, only if it's installed correctly. And if the seat is moving from car to car to car, either his car to her car, or into granny's car for the school run, make sure that's done correctly and you've got all the safety gear.
A number of comments coming. The scariest drivers on the road are those with L plates and those with N plates. The L's because they're learning and the N's because they think they know it all. Would Connor advise older drivers to drive automatic rather than manual?
If you have a choice. But
everyone
again,
will be driving automatic in a matter of a generation.
I was just going to say
drivers.
That. Yeah, well, a manual is going to become an anachronism if it's not there already. Every EV is de facto drives like an automatic. So that it will fade along with, you know, along with the choke, and eventually will be remembered like the crank at the front of the car.
Perhaps older drivers should have a sticker on their car, the same as L plate for learners. I don't think that sounds like discrimination, but at the same time, you can see the point.
Well,
you know, the message being, if you have O on the back, I am doddery, so please make allowances for me.
Well, I think it's asking for people to be abused, to be honest with you. Plus, it doesn't need to be an elderly driver in front of you for you to be driving politely and safely and sensibly. If we all did that, most of these problems wouldn't arise.
Conor Faulkner, a transport commentator, consultant to the RIAC. Conor, thank you very much.
Thank you, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.